Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. You count down 8 lines from the top. Towards the end of that line, which starts with the word Bachoso. My time with Rabbi Shmuel. So we're going to focus tonight mostly on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's shita is to distinguish between Chayvei Malkio, excuse me, Chayvei Krisus and Chayvei Misus Bezdin. According to Rabbi Akiva, in the case of Chayvei Krisus, you get Malkus. In the case of Chayvei Misus Bezdin, you do not. But let's also review Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's shita is that both in Chayvei Krisus and in Chayvei Misus Bezdin, you get Malkus. So the Gemara asks, my taima, the Rabbi Shmuel. We'll try to understand this Gemara of my time with Rabbi Shmuel. 8 lines down from the top on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And we'll offer 2 possibilities here as to what the Gemara means to ask. One possibility is that the Torah gave us a lav. And we have to figure out what the punishment that's appropriate for that lav is. My first assumption is, if I don't know otherwise, that what's going to be the punishment for a lav? Stam lav. What should be the punishment? Malchus. But if the Torah plugs in a different punishment, then obviously the Torah is substituting that punishment for Malchus. So if I don't know any better, let's call the stoma situation, you know, you have an anonymous t-shirt, doesn't have a name on it. So I assume Malchus. That's my rule until I'm proven otherwise. But if the Torah designates a different punishment, then that punishment is now related specifically to that lav. That lav is designated for that punishment, and that punishment is designated for that lav. And therefore, the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Shmuel. Why is Rabbi Shmuel, in the case where the Torah designates a different punishment, whether it be Misa, whether it be Krisus, Rabbi Gamliel still insists that Yechayev Malchus. So that's one way of interpreting the Gemara's Kasha, my time with Rabbi Shmuel. The other way of interpreting it is that the Gemara thinks that intuitively Rabbi Akiva is right that there is a distinction between Chayvei Krisus and Chayvei Misus Bezdin. And why is that? Because the Gemara is operating with a logical premise that each crime should be given one punishment. That's what we mentioned last week, one punishment per crime. Rabbi Akiva therefore says the following, in the case of Chayvei Krisus, you might do tshuva. And if you do tshuva, we alleviate you from kari. So therefore, we're going to plug in Malchus. But in the case of Chayvei Misus Bezdin, where tshuva doesn't help, and you're always, by definition, going to be Chayvei Misus Bezdin, that's the one punishment for the crime. In other words, even before Kedei Rishaso, which we're going to see soon, we still feel that intuitively, based on Svara, there should be one punishment for a crime, not two punishments for a crime. And since the Torah specified Misus Bezdin as the punishment, why should we give him a second punishment? Okay, so anyway, that's what we discussed last week at great length, and now we can move on. So the Gemara answers that Rabbi Shmuel is not based on Svara, but rather he's based on Yalfusa. The Chassid, it says at the very end of the Torah, Im lo sishmar lasos, as kol divrei Torah zos, and what word should we emphasize? Kol, right? Kol divrei Torah zos. That means every single prohibition of the Torah is included here. Now, how do we know that this pasuk is referring to Malchus? In other words, Rabbi Shmuel, is going to say that since the pasuk says Kol Divrei Torah Zos and it's referring to Malchus, therefore every single violation of the Torah incurs a chiyuv of Malchus. How does he know that this pasuk is talking about Malchus? Uksiv, because in the very next pasuk it says Vehifla Hashem es makoscha, and we don't know what this word Vehifla means. Hafla zu eni yodeh mahi. Kshu omer vi pilu ashofet vi kol lefonov. This goes back to an earlier parak in Sefer Devarim, where the Torah presents the parasha of Malchus, because here it certainly says he pilu ashofet v'ikol. The fun of we're talking about Malchus, and he used the word v'pilu. So Rabbi Shmuel understands that the word v'pilu is like the word hafla, it's like the word v'hifla Hashem es makosa. V'hifla v'pilu. I mean, they sound the same, even though one has an aleph and one doesn't, but they sound the same. So then what do we do with this? Through this pasuk v'pilu, we plug in Malchus into the word hafla, v'hifla Hashem es makosa, and that's the pasuk that follows as kol divrei ha-Torah zos, and that teaches me that you always get Malchus. So it's very interesting. Intuitively, would have said, well, if the Torah gives you a different punishment, let's take the case of Mises Bezdin, that substitutes for Malchus. But now that the Torah says, as called the Rea Torah Zos, that you always get Malchus, then you get Malchus plus Mises Bezdin. You get two punishments. And what's the logic to say, Harvey, it's hard for me to hear. So what's the logic? So what's the logic for two punishments? I mean, that's very odd. So what we suggested, if you remember last week, was that there are two issues here. One issue is the rebellion, the merit against the will of Hashem. And in that sense, every single lav is equal. Sadna di'arachadhu, you know, it's all the lavim are joined together into one entity, one continuous mikshachas, and you rebelled against Hashem's will. For that you deserve what? Malchus. On top of that, not only did you rebel, but you did an avera chamura, a very severe violation. So that increment between the baseline avera and the avera chamura incurs a different punishment, a second punishment. The first punishment, Malchus, you get because you violated the Torah through any losas, and it doesn't matter the faceless losa, whatever, an anonymous losas or whatever it is. But on top of that, you're going to get a second punishment for the heft of the Avera, for the specific nature of the Avera and its Chumrah.
What's the source of the Malchus and its Malchus? You know that, but there was...
Right, that's the parsha of Chasima. That's what we're going to see in just 1 minute. That right after this pasuk of the Pilah Shofar V'Kol Lefanov, the Torah says Lo Sachsam Shor B'Disho, and the Gemara is going to assume that Lo Sachsam Shor B'Disho is a binyanav. Correct. It's an example of a lav, a very important example of the lav. Okay. So now the Gemara says the following. So Kshu Omer v'Pilu Hashem v'Shonam Hevi Omer Hashafla Zu Malkusi Uksiv Yimlo Tishba Lasu says Kol Divrei Torah Zos, and Kol Divrei Torah Zos telling us that on every Avera there's an onus of what? Of Malkus. Even though you're going to get another punishment. So, Fekta Gemari Hachi. This we didn't learn yet. Okay, this is brand new. Ihachi. If we're reading the pasuk in its very careful interpretation, I'll call. What does it say? Es kol divrei Torah zos. What's included in es kol divrei Torah zos? Not just losas, but even essays. Ihachi chayve essay nami. You should also get Malchus for violating an essay. Now, I don't know what the Gemara means here. Does the Gemara mean that every single essay that I don't fulfill, so I get Malchus? That's a wild havamina. Meaning if I don't put tzitzis on my beged, I wear the beged. I mean, that's already less of a problem, because there I wore the beged, you know, so maybe you could say he deserves Malchus food. But let's say he didn't take a lulav, or he didn't eat matzah, or he didn't put tefillin on. So for any of those, he gets Malchus. Well, maybe that's not what the Gemara means. Maybe the Gemara means, Lufiani Yazdaiti, what's called an Isur Aseh, meaning sometimes the Torah formulates an Isur by writing an essay. Can you think of an example? Excellent. V'inisim is nafshal sechem. The Torah doesn't say lo sochal, like it says by the Veil and Trefa. It says v'inisim. So that's what's called chayve essay. If you don't fulfill v'inisim, then the Gemara thinks you should get Malchus. Because that's already closer to a lav. So I was very excited about this pshat. I couldn't find anyone to say who says it. So I thought it was going to be my original pshat. Right, but we're going now according to Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel holds you get malchus even for chayvei krisus. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, actually, you get malchus for chayvei krisus. But you know what? After I got so excited about this pshat, I realized why nobody says this pshat. Because it's wrong. Because look at the next line in the Gemara. The next line in the Gemara is the following: Im lo tishmar ksiv. Kidi Rabbi Avin, Amravi Loi, the Amravi Avin, Amravi Loi, Kol Makom Shenemar, Hishomer, Pen Vial, Eino Ella Losaser. In other words, the Gemara is interpreting that when it says in the Pasuk, Im Lo Tishmar, Lo Tishmar means you violated a Losaser.
Even still, you have to kind of check in the Havamina. The Havamina has to have.
No, but I'm just saying, if the Havmin was Isra Asay, the way I wanted to say it, then what's the maskana? That Lo Tishmar? Maybe a violation of an Isra Asay is a Lo Tishmar. In other words, the difference, the fundamental difference between an essay and a Los Asay is in the case of a Los Asay, I violate the Los Asay by an action. In the case of an essay, I violate the essay by a non-action.
Isn't there some idea, I'm not sure if it's a rabbinic machlokes or from the Torah, but the basis of force somebody, I know forcing somebody is not the same as machlokes.
You mean kofen al sachi yom rotzani, or kofen al mitzvahs? Kofen al mitzvahs, right, but that's a machlokes. No, that's a different halacha. That it might be less than machlokes, it might be more than machlokes.
I'm bothered by Rabbi Yishmael's lingo. It's called Yibayat HaTorah.
Right.
But we know that not all law gets malchus. So it's not called.
So that's exactly the Gemara's kasha, Rabbi. This is what is bothering the Gemara. How can you, Rabbi Yishmael, derive from Kol Divrei HaTorah Zos that we're always going to give you malchus for violating the Torah? We know there are many situations where you don't get malchus. The first one is Chai V'Yesei. And the second one is going to be a Lav. Okay. Then the Gemara is going to ask from Lav Shem Bo Maisa. Then the Gemara is going to ask from Lav Hanika Glesei. You follow?
Yeah.
You know, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, you really went too far here. You, the Gemara is, so to speak, saying, Rabbi Shmuel, you put your foot into your mouth, because once you're quoting the Pasuk as Kol Divrei HaTorah, there should be an absolute rule, without exception, that whenever you violate the Torah, you should be Chayav Malchus. But we know there are many situations which you violate the Torah, you're not Chayav Malchus. So how do we reconcile that? So the first kasha of the Gemara is Chayav Yesed. So Chai V'Yesei, it's a pella that the Gemara thinks that non-fulfillment of an essay incurs the Chiyuv Malchus. I don't know exactly, you know, every Chiyuv Malchus requires what? What's the first condition? What do you say? A warning, Asra. I'm not exactly sure. Again, this is very complicated, because we didn't get to the Sugi of Hasra yet. It's later on in this parak. This parak has many, many fundamental. So one of the fundamental issues in Halacha, and this that's going to be covered by this parak, is Hasra. So suffice it to say, again, you're going to have to trust me on this. I mean, this will require a lot of avudas chacham, if you have faith in me. That hasra has to be pinpointed to a split second. What I mean is that after the hasra, you have 1 second to make a choice. And if you make the wrong decision, you're going to get the punishment of the hasra, whether it's malchus, misa, whatever it might be. So in the case of a chai v'yesei, I'm not exactly sure how I would give a person a hasra in this havamina. For example, let's say it's the first day of Sukkot, and I say to you, take a lulav, and if you don't take a lulav, you're going to get malchus for that. Well, yeah, but when? I mean, I have until dusk to take the lulav. So I don't know how you're going to pin it down. You know, in a case of a losas, I can say if you do this action right now at this second, without a doubt, you will incur a chiyuv malchus. But I can't pin you down in the chai v'yesei. So I'm just giving you one example. Yeah, maybe. But you know what? There are certain essays, I don't even know if they're limited to a day. You know, you might have an essay that you can fulfill, who knows? Like, you know. Rip Milah is complicated. Of course, there's a mitzvah on Yom Shmini, there's a mitzvah. All right. Yeah. But Jonathan, what do you want to say?
I think you don't need to read the question as there's like a Hava Mina that you would get malchus for an ase. It's just Korazim was saying, like, we know you don't get malchus for an ase, and this pasuk would
have. Right. So how do we reconcile that with the pasuk? You say the Gemara is just really attacking the drush. Okay, that's not going to be true in the next two cases, but maybe I'll let you get away with it here. And by the way, I saw something here that I wanted to share with you in the name of the Ravan. The Ravan was one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz from the Rishonim. And the Ravan says that what the Gemara is asking, and this maybe would support your approach, Jonathan, the Gemara is asking, Imlo Tishmar should not be interpreted as a violation of a lav, but Imlo Tishmar, if you fail to observe the Torah, and that's a reference not to Losa says, but rather to essays. That's the deeper pshat in the Gemara. When the Gemara says Chayvei Essay, it means that Imlo Tishmar means Essay Sheva Torah. Then you get Malchus. Klomar. It means if lo tases kol divrei Hashem, then you chayev malchus. According to the Ravan, this would be very weird. It would mean that when do you get malchus for violating what in the Havamin of the Gemara? An essay, but there's no mention of a lo sase. No, you'll tell me, but wait a minute. Kal v'chomer, if you chayev malchus for non-compliance with an essay, how much more so if you violated a lo saseh? But the answer is ein onshim min adin. We can't use kal v'chomer to establish a punishment. And I saw here in the footnote on the bottom, he says im kain lokin rak al mitzvah saseh. I was very excited when he had the word rak. I mean, that word doesn't appear in the original Ravan. So I'm just pointing out to you, Rav Osai, that the Gemara does seem to be vacillating back and forth as to how to interpret this pasuk. Should we read it Imlo Tishmar, which means you have not fulfilled your essay, or should we read it Imlo Tishmar, which means if you violate a lo sase? And that's what the Gemara answers, Imlo Tishmar Ksiv, which means we read it in one fell swoop. It doesn't mean Imlo Tishmar, if you failed to observe the Torah, meaning to fulfill the mitzvah saseh, but rather lo tishmar. And lo tishmar is a code word for what? For a lav. Kidarav Avin, Omer Rav Eloi, and one of the various words on the list of Rav Avin, is what? Is hishamer. Now, they don't get too nervous about this word hishamer. Hishamer is sort of a root. It's a shoresh. It can be conjugated in many different ways. So hishamer in this case means, as we apply to our case, lo tishmar. And it's referring to what? To lo sases, and only to lo sases. So in the Havamin we thought it was referring, according to the Ravan, only to essays. And in the Teretz of the Gemara, it's only referring to lo sases. I hachi lav shein bo maisa nami. So Rabbi Osai, what is the premise of this kash of the Gemara? What's bothering the Gemara? The Gemara has a certain assumption. What is the assumption of the Gemara about lav shein bo maisa? The what? That ain't lokin. Right? Ain't lokin. So guess what? Whether or not you get malchus for lav shein bo maisa is a machlokas tanoim. And we don't know what Rabbi Shmuel holds on that. So the Rishonim want to know what kind of kash is Gemara asking. The Gemara is laying down the premise of Yishmael holds lav shein bo maisa, ain't lokin a lav. How can we square that with Imlo Tishmar? He violated a lav, he should get malchus. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel happens to hold like that. Tanu holds lav shein bo maisa, lokin a lav. So I don't know if this interests you, but if it does, there's a whole ganza maracha here in the name of one of these obscure Sfarim. It's the Shagas Ari, not the Shagas Ari that we know of. There's a Shagas Ari on Masechta Makis. His name was Benedict. He borrowed the name. It wasn't really fair. I guess he sometimes it's good to call you. In any event, so he has a whole Maruch. Are you interested or not? I mean, it'll take 10 minutes if you want. Or we could just drop it. You want to hear it? Okay. Do you remember, Avosai, that the Gemara tells us that in the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, the Edom Zom did not become a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, but they get what? Malkus. So the Gemara asks, what's the source for this? How do you know that Ben Grusha and Ben Chalutza, meaning when you cannot be Mekayim Kasha Zomim, literally you get Malkus? So the Gemara answers on Daf Beis Amud Beis. There's a parsha in the Torah called Vitzdiku Es HaTzadik V'Yishiyu Es HaRosha V'Hoyim Ben Hakos HaRosha, that we give a Malkus. So what's Vitzdiku Es HaTzadik V'Yishiyu Es HaRosha? These Edom came in to call this Tzadik a Rosha. Now two Edom come in to be mazim them, Vitzdiku Es HaTzadik, and that pasuk teaches us that Edom Zomim get what? Get Malkus. Oh. L'chora. Again, this is a premise which you'll have to accept for the time being. Edom Zomim is a classic case of a lav shein bo maisa. Because all they did was speech. Again, let's not get, I know you know we can go off on a million tangents here, but let's assume that speech is not a maisa. Is that okay? So speech is not a maisa. It's a lav shein bo maisa. And therefore I have a havamino that you should not get Malkus. It's not for that I need an entire parsha Torah. No, this whole parsha of Tzdikus HaTzadik is justified based on the premise that Lav Shein Bo Maisa ain't Lokan Olav. If Lav Shein Bo Maisa Lokan Olav, I don't need Tzdikus HaTzadik. Now I have a pasuk in the Chumash which you can basically cut out and throw in the garbage. It's completely superfluous. So the Shagas Aryeh, again on Masech the Makas, he says the following. He says that the Gemara could have given the answer that I need Vitzdikos HaTzadik for a different reason. Why do I need Vitzdikos HaTzadik? Because the violation of Edom Zomim, which is called Osana Breyacha Ed Shokar, just to jolt your memory for those who were here when we started Makas, is a lav hanitan lazharis misas bez, which means if two Edom testify that Reuben killed Shimon and therefore violated Shabbos, those two Edom, if they become Zom, get put to death for violating Losana. So Losana is called a lav shenitan lazharis misas bezdin v'ein lokin olav. Zaktaisis, the reason why I need Vitzdikos HaTzadik is because lav Hanitan Lazarus Mises Bezdin ain't Lokin Olav. And ain't Lokin Olav means that therefore there's no reason to give Malkus to the Edom Zomim for violating Losana. Is therefore I need Vitzdikos HaTzadik. Oh. In the next Gemara that we're going to learn in about 10 minutes from now, Rabbi Shmuel happens to hold that Lav Shanitan Lazarus Mises Bezdin Lokin Olav. That's the din of Malkus and Misa for Chayvei Mises. Because even though the Lav is Nitan Lazarus Mises Bezdin, for example, he's Mechal Shabbos, nevertheless we're going to give him Malkus. Now according to that Shita, then if a Lav Hanitan Lazarus Mises Bezdin Lokin Olav, then why do I need Vitzdikos HaTzadik to teach me that in the case of Edom Zomim, you get Malkus? I know you get Malkus. Edom Zomim, for violating Losana, is a Lav Anitim Lasaurus Mises Pesim. Rabbi Shmuel holds Lav Anitim Lasaurus Mises Pesim Lokin Olav. So now we have a parsha in the Torah that's completely superfluous. The answer is it's not superfluous, because Losana is also a Lav Shein Bo Maisa, and Lav Shein Bo Maisa ain't Lokin Olav. It's the Haraya that Rabbi Shmuel holds, Lav Shein Bo Maisa ain't Lokin Olav. So the Gemara answers, so if so, how do I reconcile that with the pasuk Lasos is called this? He says, Lasos ksiv. Lasos means that you require an asiyah. Only if you actively violate the lav, then you get Malkus. But in the case of a lav shein bo maisa, you don't get Malkus.
Rabbi?
Yes?
Your answer is better with why we need to explain Rabbi Shmuel. But I was also thinking that we explained last week that the basic premise of Rabbi Yishmael, that Moti Shmor Lasos gives a blanket Malkus for all of theirs, is the fundamental premise that even Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yitzchak hold by.
That could be very true.
Rabbi Yishmael is actually like a question on everyone.
Wait, Jonathan, if you don't mind, I'm going to slow you down a little just so that I can catch what you're saying. Jonathan, point number one that you're making is that Ilo Tishmar Lassus is called Divrei Torah Zos teaches me that you should get Malkus for every single violation, and even Rabbi Akiva would accept that. If Rabbi Akiva accepts that, Jonathan, then that's going to be the next piece of Gemara of Rabbi Akiva Maitaima. What was bothering the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva Maitaima? Since the Torah says Ilo Tishmar Lassus, and it says Hifla Hashem Es Makos, which means you get Malkus for every time you violate the Torah, It's in fact the Gemara has a kasha, so Rabbi Akiva should therefore agree that you get Malkus for every single laf. Okay, John, go on. I just wanted to put what you said in perspective.
The basic premise of what are the parameters of Imlot Yishmor La'asur.
Right.
Right here they're talking about Rabbi Yishmael, but the way that they're formulating, the way they're fleshing it out, is also a way that the other Tanaim also agree to.
Again, if I understand you correctly, all these kashas that we're having, A, B, and C, could be addressed to all Tanoim, not just Rabbi Shmuel.
Yeah.
We're only blaming Rabbi Shmuel because he was the one who presented this drasha for the first time. But assuming that all Tanoim would embrace this drasha and derive from this drasha an absolute blanket chiyuv malchus for every violation of any isur in the Torah, then we should ask them A, B, and C, all these kashas. And that's indeed what the Gemara is going to ask by Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds in the case of Chayvei Mises Bezdin that there's no Malkus. How can there be no Malkus? My time, or what about the Pasuk? It's called Divrei Torah Zos. Okay, fine. Fact the Gemara, the next cash is number 3 in the series of 3. Lav Shenitan Nitak Liese Nami. Who can give me an example of Lav Nitak Liese? Lo Tigzol, right? What else?
No time.
Right, no sa, lo sosir menu ad boker, there's a whole issue about bal yirah, bal yimotzeh, if it's a lav anita klesi, because the Torah says tashbisu, and so forth and so on, lav anita klesi. The rule is, less man de polik on lav anita klesi ein lokin. Again, we're going to have a gigantic machlokas later on in this perek, of bitlo velo bitlo, or kimo velo kimo, whether or not we give you an option to fulfill the essay, and if you don't take advantage of that option, we will give you malchus. That's called kimo velo kimo, but let's assume bitlo velo bitlo, which means that you don't get malchus for a lav hanita akles. So that's a simple way of going. If that be the case, wait a minute. The Los Ishma Lassus is called Divrei Torah Zos, so therefore in any of those lavim, you should what? You should be chay of Malkus, any of those lav that we mentioned, Lo Sigzol and Nosar. And for the Gemara, Dumya de lav de chasima. Right after the Pasha of Ipilu Ashofi Lefana, Viko, stating the next pasuk, well, actually, there's one pasuk in the middle, but it says, Lo Sachsam Shar B'Disho. Lo Sachsam Shar B'Disho becomes your paradigm for chay of Malkus. If it's similar to Lo Sachsam Shar B'Disho, then you get Malkus. If it's not similar, you don't get Malkus. We see this over and over again in Shas, the same methodology. That the Torah gives you a specific case, and you equate everything to that case. Oh, for example, we're going to see that you get Yechayev a carbon for violating a shogeg, and that's written in the Parsha of Avodah Zorah, so it's going to have to be similar to the law, to the Isra of Avodah Zorah. Or many, many other examples. It's cool. So now the Gemara says that, you know what? How do I describe Lo Sachsam Shar B'Disho? It's a Lav She'yesh Bo Maisa. That's very complicated because there's such a thing as Chasima B'Kol. Meaning if I call the animal every time the animal tries to eat, and I force the animal by calling it not to eat, I also violate this Lav. And that's not considered a Maisa unless Yel Dibur is Kemaisa, what I hinted at before. In any event, the Gemara now is working with the premise, let's just simplify it, that Lav de Chasima is your classical case of a Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa. What else can you tell me about Lav de Chasima? If we're already describing Lav de Chasima and all its features, all its characteristics, it's also Lav Sheh Loni Takla Essay, right? There's no essay over here. If you chosem the animal, end of story, you violated the law. Not only that, it's not Chayvei Essay. So the Gemara asks, Hashda Diyasis Lahachi, now that you've quoted this halacha of Dumya Delav De Chasima, is therefore Kulhu Nami, Dumya Delav De Chasima, I can remove all the questions, all the objections that I raised. Let's go through all three of them. The first one was Chayvei Essay, the second was Lav Shembo Maisa, the third was Lav Hanitak Lesay. All of those are gone because they're all dissimilar, if there is such a word in English, dissimilar to Lo Sachsam Shar B'Disho. We need as Kol Divrei Torah Zos to tell you that even when the Torah specifies another punishment, it's not coming to undermine Malkus. Because in Malkus, the Torah says it's called the Red Torah Zos. So therefore, if you violate Shabbos and you chayev Misa, in addition to being chayev Misa, the Torah says it's called the Red Torah Zos, you chayev Malkus, and you can get both Malkus and Misa. And that's going to be true for any chayev Misos, according to Rabbi Yishmael. And the Gemara is so excited about Rabbi Yishmael's drasha, the Gemara is now going to turn around and ask my time into Rabbi Akiva, why does Rabbi Akiva say the Chayv Mises are not Chayv Malkus? But before we get to the next Gemara, I just wanted to ask you a different question about the Gemara of Lav Hanitak Li Ese. In the case of Lav Hanitak Le'ese, the Gemara excludes Malkus because it's not Dumya the Lav de Chasim. Fekta Ritva V'im Tomar Af Chai V'Krisus Nemai to Holodami L'Lav de Chasim. Gevaldige Kasha the Ritva. Let me present the Ritva's Kash. I seem to know you have a teretz to the Ritva, but let's understand the Ritva's Kash. The Ritva says the following. We're trying to justify the shita of Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael holds that you get Malkus both for Chayv Mises Beis Din and for Chayv Krisus. In the case of Chayv Mises Beis Din, it's clearly a lav she'eno nitak le'esei. Right? It's not nitak le'esei. Okay, fine. Just one second. I lost my orientation. Just one second. I'm sorry. Forget about lav nitak le'esei. What I wanted to say is the following. Chayve Mises Bezdin. Chayve Mises Bezdin. The entomar af chayve krisis in the mind. You know, why is he asking this question about chayve krisis and not chayve Mises Bezdin? Just one second, I'm sorry, I lost it. No, he only mentions chayve krisis. Just one second, I got myself a little bit confused. Just one second, please. Okay, I'm not exactly sure. This is what confused me. Why the Ritva zooms in on Chayve Krisus? Maybe he means Chayve Krisus and certainly Chayve Mises Bezdin. Maybe that's what he means. Because again, he's attacking Rabbi Yishmael. And if he's attacking Rabbi Yishmael, then he should be attacking Rabbi Yishmael both in Chayve Krisus and Chayve Mises Bezdin. In any event, let's follow the Ritva's logic. So the Ritva says the following. If, according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's got to be, in order to be Chayv Malkus, Dumya de Lav de Chasima. Is Chayv Krisus is not Dumya de Lav de Chasima? They're worlds apart. They separate the Lav de Chasima from Chayv Krisus. Chayv is Lav de Chasima, has nothing to do with Kares, correct? You hear the Ritva's Kasha? I feel like I'm talking to the wall here. Aaron, can I pick on you tonight? Because you're wearing the red baseball cap. Okay. I like that cap. Is that a Torontonian thing? Oh, that's Dallas. Okay, good. So now I want to ask you the following question. In order to be Chayv Malkus, it's got to be Dumya de Lav de Chasima.
Which is a simple
Lav. Oh, a simple Lav. Ritva, if that be the case, Rabbi Shmuel is in deep, deep trouble. Because Rabbi Shmuel postulates that you Chayv Malkus for Chayv Krisus. Chayv Krisus is not Dumya de Lav de Chasima. Yeah.
There's a big distinction you can make.
Yeah.
The action.
No. So you started very well, Jonathan. Then you went off the thing.
Well, obviously the answer is
no. Jonathan, I want to give you a methodology. Can I give you a clue here? Look at the three cases and tell me what's common to all three. Again, they're all different than Lav de Chasima, but in which direction? I'm giving you too much of a hint over here. This is. What's common to all the three, as opposed to the distinction of Chayv Krisus?
About the act and not the punishment.
No. Act will be good for Lav and Lav Shembo Maisa, but what's common to all the three? I'm going to have to give it away. Sorry, the buzz went off. They're all Lakula. In other words, lav de chasima, if you place it in the matrix of all lavim, it's really in the middle. There are lavim that are below it, which is called lakula, and there are lavim that are above it, which is called lachumra. For example, if I would talk about chayvei krisus and compare it to lav de chasima, what would chayvei krisus be? Lachumra. And then lav de chasima is below that. But if I'm comparing lav de chasima to a chayvei essay, or for that matter to a lav shein bo maisa, or for that matter to a lav anita kla essay, which means that I can rectify the lav, then where does lav de chasima fit? L'chumra. And all those others are below it on the list. Do you follow? We have this whole hierarchy of lav. Zok the Ritva, I'll read to his language. He says, Atu mishum de ispe lav kares, chumra de kares, nigra gara, de chiyuv chumra malkus. He says, just because you have in chayvei krisus a chumra, the Torah finds it totally repulsive to violate this isra, a balachoso, it's chayvei kares, right? And therefore the Torah says, so now you're going to tell me, well, it's not dumya de lav de chasima, therefore he doesn't deserve malchus. We're going to alleviate him from malchus. Why? Because it's not dumya de lav de chasima. So to read for that's not what dumya de lav de chasima is. Dumya de lav de chasima is setting up the bar, you know, the medium, the basic requirement, you know, of the baseline chumra of a lav that can engender malchus. If it's below that baseline chumra, meaning if it's lakula and it's not dumya the lav the chasima, then you alleviate malchus. But if you have a lav that's not dumya the chasima, why? Because it's more what? It's more chumra than lav the chasima. That's not considered, that's not a foul, that's not a violation of lav the chasima. Dumya the lav the chasima means from lav the chasima and upwards, but not from lav the chasima downwards. I think the Ritva deserves a PhD just for this one paragraph.
It starts with the answer and then has to figure out a way to get to that answer. I can start without that answer and say that Mamish Chayvei Krisus shouldn't get Malkus because it's certainly not Dumya L'Chasima. Chasima is not in any way connected to Malkus.
So in his Hava, meaning the Ritva understood that Dumya D'Lav Chasima means literally, you know, you have to be, in the Heft itself, it's got to be identical. And this is certainly a radical difference in comparing Chayvei Krisus to Lav de Chasima. And for the Ritva name, what Lav de Chasima is doing, it's just establishing the minimal baseline for Chiyuv Malkus, below which it's too kuladik. It doesn't live up to the standard of Chayvei of Lav de Chasima, and therefore it doesn't engender Malkus. But certainly Chayvei Krisus and Avada Avada Chayvei Misa would be Dumya to Lav de Chasima. Ad kan Rabbi Yishma. Now we move on to Rabbi Akiva. Fact the Gemara of Rabbi Akiva, my time. In other words, the Gemara at this point, you know, 5 minutes ago, the Gemara said, my time to Rabbi Yishma. The Gemara thought that intuitively, Rabbi Akiva's logic is more powerful than Rabbi Yishma. But now that Rabbi Yishma quotes a pasuk in Chimish, it says that in Lotishmar, now we're in deep trouble with Rabbi Akiva. Because presumably, Rabbi Akiva would accept this drasha. And this is where Jonathan said last week, a brilliant point, that maybe Rabbi Akiva doesn't even entertain this drasha. Because after all, what does it say in the pasuk? V'hifla Hashem es makoscha. We're talking about divine punishment. We're not talking about punishment in this basin. Despite the fact that Yishmael has a comparison for the hipilu, v'hifla, and so on, Rabbi Akiva doesn't have to. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have to buy into this. But again, just to reiterate what we said over and over again, because I'm very excited about this far, even though I didn't find anyone who says it, but I think it's Emes Lamito, that Rabbi Yishmael's compelling logic is that what the Torah is saying in Lotishmar is called Divrei HaTorah Zos, means that just for Lotishmar you get Malkus. That itself is a Chiyuv Malkus. Every Avera that you violate has two component parts to it. Number one, it's a Lotishmar. And number two, it has its own character, its own Chumras Avera, because of the Heft of the Avera, what you two life in this Welt, you know, what you accomplish in this world. So you have chivei kareis for tumas arayis. I mean, you created a tumas arayis. In fact, to some extent, tumas arayis really changes the world. It really has an impact on the world. In the case of Eish HaSish, she can't go back to her husband. I mean, if she did it for Ratzon, I mean, with all the different Eish HaKayin and all the different dinim. If you killed someone, you killed somebody. I mean, I lost my chavrusa yesterday. I mean, somebody killed him. Yemach Shemo V'Zichro, somebody killed him. So that's, you know, we don't know how to be Mechayim Mason. That we don't have yet. That's one of the three Mavtechas that Hashem didn't give us. So we got to wait till, and now we can say Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayim Mason with extra kavan when we daven. We can ask for the gula with extra kavan. So there's certain averis which engender a chiyuv misa, the capital crimes, because of what you changed in this world. You know, the severity of the avera. In Machol Sasuris, for example, to the best of my knowledge, we don't find a chiyuv misa. We cannot kill someone for eating something. Because, again, he may have changed himself radically, but he didn't change the world. I don't know, I'm just pontificating. Sometimes I do those things, you know. But the Gemara says, my time to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, why can't he get one malchus for the very violation of the law in Lotishmar? It's called Divrei Torah Sos, and an additional punishment for the unique character of that avera and what it brought in, what terrible contamination and destruction it brought into this world. So the Gemara answers a pasuk. Rabbi Akiva cannot be justified without a pasuk. And the pasuk reads, I'll read the entire pasuk. It says, "V'pilu ashofet v'kol lefan of kidei rishaso." Rishaso is lashon yachid. He'll get a punishment for one risha. Mishum risha achas atomachayvo. V'i atomachayvo mishum shtei rishayos. For Rabbi Shmuel, it's a seesaw back and forth. The Gemara says we're so convinced that this is the right taich in the pasuk kidei rishaso, that there's no two punishments for the same single crime, that now we have a problem with Rabbi Shmuel. Now it's this pasuk is coming lafuki the entire structure of svara that we said that is called divrei Torah Zos establishes a basic chiyuv malchus for simply violating the will of Hashem. That's not true. Every crime deserves its punishment. And the Torah says, Kidei Rishaso. Whatever the punishment is, the Torah will tell you what the punishment is, but you can't give him two punishments. That's what it says over here.
How do they accumulate the rabbi anyway?
Same possible. The only difference between Kidei Rishaso and Kimei B'Ramine is that in Kidei Rishaso, you're left with the following question, Daniel. You've got two punishments to meet out. So which one should you choose? That's what Kimei B'Ramine plays a role. Kimei B'Ramine says you have to compare the two punishments, decide which one is more severe, and will give you a punishment for the more severe one.
Right.
Because the Torah says that, for example, if you violate Shabbos, and while you're violating Shabbos, you damage someone's property, so the Torah says you get misa for that. So we're not going to say that paying compensation for damaging someone's property therefore removes the chiyuv misa for violating Shabbos. That's called kimlei b'derabanan. What did he say? I didn't hear.
Why not both?
Again, are you asking a philosophical why, or you're asking a halachic why? If you're asking a halachic why, because the Torah says kidei rishaso in singular. If you're asking a philosophical why, I have to plead the fifth. You know, that's what my Rebbe used to always say: ask what, don't ask why. If you're learning Mar Devuchim, you'll ask why, and then you'll say a drasha, and then tomorrow somebody else will. 90%, you should know. I may be exaggerating, but I think 90% of the Mar Devuchim is completely passé. It is totally out of whack with what we know today. Why? Because the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim tried to explain the mitzvahs. And they're nice drushes, but they're all speculative, and many of them just reflect, you know, what the Rambam believed in his time. He was a great genius, but today we know differently. Okay, fine, I got off on a tangent again, but let's try this out. So the Gemara says the following. Oh, Rabbi Yishmael, Hani Mili, Misa Umamin. Rabosai, we're going to read this Gemara, and I'm going to ask you to tell me what the Gemara is saying in my language. Okay? Let's see if you can do that for me. Tani, immediately, when do we apply the principle of Kidei? Rishaso Misa u Mamano Malkus u Mamon. Aval Misa u Malkus. We don't apply the principle of what? Kidei Rishaso Misa Arichtahi. It's one long Misa. Who can rewrite the Gemara's answer in my language? I just want to see if after all these months we learned together, if I've made any impact on you. That's so, too long of a sentence.
Rabbi Shmuel understands Kidei Rishaso as not saying that there must be a single punishment, but the punishment must have a single object or a single chepsa.
It's too complicated. I need something much simpler. What does Misa Richter mean? Why is there no violation of the principle of Kidei Rishaso?
Single chepsa.
It's a single?
Misa.
It's a single onesh. Exactly. There's my man, Shalom. You got me. I was about to go sink down. You pulled me up. I need everything I can stretch out for to pull me up these days. You know, the news has been too depressing. Very good. It's one onesh. In other words, like this, says Rabbi Yishmael, you're right, Rabbi Akiva, we don't give two onshim for one criminal, for one crime. But this is not two onshim. This is one onesh. Again, we're going to meet it out in dribbles and drabs. There'll be two pa'ulos, but all those pa'ulos form one onesh. Al pi din, it's one chalav shem chefta shel onesh. That's what I think the Gemara is saying. Fact the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva. What do you say?
Misa
Malkus, right. But why in the case of... why does Rabbi Yishmael feel that it's impossible to say the same lumbus of Onesh Echad in the case of Misu Mammon or Malkus of Mammon? And the answer is Pasha. They're two Onshim. How do I know they're two Onshim? One is corporeal and the other is financial. If you're talking about two Onshim from two different classifications, clearly that's two Onshim and the Torah says Kidei Rishaso. But if you're talking about two physical punishments, I can integrate them both into one chal shem onesh, because they're not dissimilar. Rabbi Akiva doesn't buy into that. Rabbi Akiva says there's one onesh that's a very, you know, long, drawn-out punishment that's called Malkus. Again, it's less dramatic maybe than Misa, but, you know, each one, you know, you can choose between the two. I don't know which one you like. In any event. So, fact the Gemara, Ula Rabbi Akiva, if Rabbi Akiva is based on Kidei Rishaso, Ihachi, if that be the case, is Chayve Krisos Nami. What premise is the Gemara operating now? That Krisos is a Menonesh. You follow what I'm saying? The Gemara is not willing to accept that we can reduce the status of Kares to something other than an onesh, less than an onesh. Name! Kares is an onesh.
What's the question?
In this world.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, because we're not exactly sure the nature of Kares is a little bit iffy. And in fact, if we go back to Rabbi Akiva's original formulation, which is here on line 3, he himself, Rabbi Akiva, tells me why Kares is radically different than every other Onesh. What makes Kares different? Aaron, line 3. Yemasa Tshuva, line 3. 3 lines down from the top. Are you on Yud Gimel on the base? Are you in Marcus?
Yes.
Oh, good, okay. You know, sometimes, you know, you have these Gemaras that have different Masechtas, and you're looking around and you realize, hey, I'm in Shavuos, I'm in Sanhedrin, I'm not in Marcus. Okay, good. So Vashtate, what does it say there? But you don't speak Yiddish, you're a Sephardi, so I got to talk to you in Dallas English. Like a good Texan. Is it true that Texans are tall, by the way?
Taller?
They're taller than the rest of the 59, the 49 states?
No, I'm not.
You're not. So maybe, okay. Oh, Yom Kippur is mechaper for Kares. Correct. Oh, so obviously this Gemara is not operating with that premise, because you remember that Chayv Krisus, you know, not only do you need what? Yom Kippur, but you also need Kares. But what happens if you do tshuva? Is the Gemara holds that tshuva wipes out Kares. It's like you see that Kares is not an onesh in the full sense of the term.
Because you can take it back.
Correct. Where do you have an onesh that's rescindable?
You can do that also here.
What do you mean by here?
By by Malkus, or...
No. Malkus, you can do all the tshuv in the world.
No, not you, but someone else could come and all of a sudden wipe away the Adas, and then all of a sudden you don't have Malkus.
Well, no. That's not fair play. That's foul. No, we're not saying that you could undo the Adim, and therefore... What we're saying is that you have within yourself, as the criminal, the power to subvert or undermine the punishment. That's only true for Chayvei Krisus, because you can do Tshuva. It's not true for Chayvei Malkus or Chayvei Mises Bezdin.
If Aaron's thinking he has the power to bribe some false witnesses, or false
bribes. Okay,
what about
okay.
The Tvon Gadol? He could pass, and all of a sudden it's gone, right?
No. You're talking about the second parak. In other words, the Chayvei Golios in Shogeg, and that the Kohen Gadol should have davened. Okay, but again, what we're saying is that in the case of Malkus and in the case of Misa, nothing's going to help. All the prayers in the world and all the tshuva, and you can do tshuva from now until Biz Mashiach time. It won't help you. You're going to get punished, Malkus or Misa. And therefore, that's called an onish. That's an onish with a capital Ayin. So that's what the Gemara says now. My Amrit. So Lechora, what is Rabbi Akiva's response to this? Why is Chayv Krisus Chayv Malkus, and it's not a violation of Kidei Rishaso? The answer is in Masa Tshuva, because Bezin Shomala will wipe off the Chiv Karis. Frek the Gemara, but Hashta Mihas Lo Avdi. What does that mean? At this point, he hasn't yet done tshuva. What do you mean he hasn't yet done tshuva? Maybe he did do tshuva? I don't know. But both say, look at Rashi, because I think Rashi adds a few words here. Rashi says, for Rabbi Akiva, Kevan diomar I atoma chayva mishum shtei rishoyus chayve krisus namilo lilkida shtei rishoyus ninhu. Why is that called shtei rishoyos? And look at Rashi's language, the last four words. Sha'adayin onesh ha'kores olaf. I would have written Rashi a little differently. Sha'adayin chayav onesh kores. What's this fancy, poetic language that Rashi employs here? Adayin onesh kores olaf.
It's like resting on him?
Yeah, what does that mean, it's resting on him? What is Rashi trying to convey over here with his choice of language, his words? I think Rashi might be saying that something called a chiyuv karis. We thought that the law of kedei rishaso means that Bezdin cannot mete out two punishments for one crime. It's aloch in kiyum ha'onshim. There's no kiyum of two onshim. Name. Rashi's saying something else. Rashi's telling us if there's a chiyuv karis olav, which means he comes under the chiyuv karis in an abstract sense, that's enough to implement the principle of Kedei Rishaso. Kedei Rishaso is activated by a Chiyuv Onesh, which blocks Bezdin from implementing an Onesh of a different sort. And since he has a Chiyuv Onesh hovering over him, like an albatross around his head, around his neck, therefore there's no possibility of Bezdin meeting out a Chiyuv Malkus.
That makes sense. Like the other case of a person was Chayav Malkus in Mama.
Right.
So give him Malkus, not Mamo. But let's say he happens to be a very, very sick person.
Right.
He can't technically give him Malkus. So he would still say, well, he has the fee of Malkus, so he should only get 1210.
Right. But here's my question to you, Rabosai. If Rashi is saying the chiyuv is on him, let's talk about the case of chiyuv misa, okay? And let's apply Rashi's logic to the case of a chiyuv misa. So a man violates the Shabbos, Edom and Asra, the whole 9 yards. He should be chayv both misa and malchus. Because again, the Gemara's premise is in lo tishmu is kol haTorah zos. Rabbi Shmuel is correct. The Gemara answers, but I have another pasuk. Kedei rishos. Mishum rishachas yata machayv. What would be if, according to Rashi's frame of reference, there was no chiyuv misa olav, then he should get malchus. So what case do I have? What if the Edom gave him a hasra and they said, if you violate the Shabbos, you'll be chayv malchus? But they didn't whisper a word about Misa. In such a case, there's no chiyuv misa. Is I would submit to you that in such a case, Einochinami Rabbi Akiva would agree that he's chayev malchus. I have only one problem. A few words of the Gemara. Let's go back to Amud Aleph. The Gemara says in the bottom of an Aleph, Chayve misus pesin lo ketani masnisin mani Rabbi Akiva. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Mishnah. How does the Gemara prove that Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Mishnah? Because it says what? Every case of Chayve Malkus is listed, but there's no case of, even Chayve Kris is listed, but there's no case of Chayve misus pesin. Why did Rabbi Yehuda Anasi omit Chayve misus pesin? The answer is because there's no Malkus in Chayve misus pesin. Is that really the case? You are telling me there's no Malkus according to Rabbi Akiva and Chayv Misa's Bez because Kedei Rishaso. But that's only because there's a Chiyuv of Misa on him. If there was no Chiyuv of Misa, then he'd be Chayv Malkus. For example, the case where there's Asra for Malkus, no Asra for Misa. So why didn't the Mishnah mention Chayv Misa's? I mean, B'doch HaGadol, you're going to have to say that the Mishnah wanted to give us a rule that knows no exception. You know, in the following cases of Lavim, you always incur a Chiyuv Malkus. But the Mishnah deliberately omitted Chayvei Misas because it all depends on what the Hasra was. If there was Hasra for Misa, then Enochinami there would be no Malkus. So therefore the Mishnah didn't mention it. But that's a, you know, that's a little bit of a dog.
Not
me, okay.
Is this per?
I think the question's a little better than the answer, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
Would this be per case? Like if someone
per case,
if someone has a chiyuv karis on them,
right,
and then they commit another crime, does that mean they can't be punished?
No. What we're talking about, Aaron, is when this criminal act engenders a chiyuv karis. There's a chiyuv karis olav by virtue of this criminal act. In such a case, the Gemara says kedei rishasa should kick in. And if Kedei Rishasa kicks in, we can't give Malkus. Why does Rabbi Akiva say, no, in every case of Chayvei Krisus, you can get Malkus, and that's why the Mishnah lists Habal Achoso. Because every case of Habal Achoso, you're going to get Malkus. Why? Chiyuv Karis Olav, what happened to the principle that we have to activate here called Kedei Rishasa? Amar Rabbi Avo, and here Rabosai, the sugi at this point bifurcates. It splits into two approaches. One approach, which is called Rabbi Avo, is going to accept the premise of the Makshan, hook, line, and sinker. Enochinami, you are absolutely correct. In the case of a Chiyuv Kares, he should not be Chayev Malkus. And I'm going to have to come up with a new pasuk, a new source of the Torah, which is called in this case Gzeira Shava, to establish according to Rabbi Akiva that you get Malkus for Chayvei Krisus. That's going to be one case, one approach. And then we're going to have another approach entirely, and that's going to be the approach of Ravina, who's going to say that Chayvei Krisus is not really, really an onish. It's a little bit different than an onish. But let's, whatever it is, we don't know. It's something up in Shammai. But whatever it is, let's ask the following question. Amar Rabbi Avo, Beferish Ripsa Torah, Chayvei Krisus Lamalkus. Enochinami, logically, you're correct. There should be no Malkus in the case of Chayvei Krisus. It's a violation of the principle of Kedei Rishos. But the Torah itself says that in the case of Chayvei Krisus, you are Chayv Malkus. Where does the Torah say that? The Gomar, this is the famous Gzeir Shava, Li'ene Mile'enecha. Notice, by the way, there's a slight difference between Li'ene and Le'enecha, but they're pretty similar. They both start with a Lamed, and they pretty much go the same way. Where are these two Psukim? The first Pasuk is in Vayikra. And there in the parish of Krisus, it says, V'nichrasu Li'ene B'nei Amma. And the second is in the parasha of Kiteitze and Dvarim Chafei. It says, in the parasha of Malkus, V'nikla achicha le'enecha. So here it says, V'nikrasu li'ene b'nei amam li'ene. And here it says, V'nikla achicha le'enecha. Is ene'enecha, is the Torah telling you that Chayvei Krisus, which are written in parashas Achrivos, they are Chayev Malkus, as it says in parashas Shoftim. V'nikla achicha le'enecha. What I don't understand, Rabosai, is if Rabbi Avoh is correct, how do I read this brisa? The brisa says, back on the second line, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Chayve Krisus, Yeshon Bechal Malkas Arboim, why? Shemasu Tshuva, Bezen Shomala Mochalahem. I don't get it. You're telling me, Rabbi Avoh, that Chayve Krisus could not be Chayve Malkas. For sure not, because Kedei Rishosa. And you're answering me, but the Torah went out of its way to tell me that Chayve Krisus, a Chayve Malkas, is period. So it's a Gzeres HaKosuv, derived from this Gzeres Shava, Liene, and Leinecha, but what does that have to do with him? Asu Tshuva, Bezdin Shalmaila Mochlin Lahem. I don't understand how to read this price. The Ramban says something, but I can't figure it out. Pasha can't. I'll just read to you the words of the Ramban, at least he's bothered by the question. He says, Ulahach Lishna Du Kimna Taimid Rabbi Kiv Mishum Gzeres Shava. This is what the brisa means. But we ain't done in chayve misos mi krisus. Rabbi Akiva the brisa is answering another question. He's deflecting a side problem. He's saying, now that we have this gzeres shava and in chayve krisus yichayve malkus, so let's extend that to chayve misus bezdin. Rabbi Akiva holds there is no malkus in chayve misus bezdin. So what does Rabbi Akiva answer? Ain't done in chomer mikal lahakil alecha v'chayve krisus kalim heim shem asa tshuva ain't. Vechayve krisus kalim shem aset tshuva ein bezin shel mala mimisim also, which I think it means then they wipe off the chiyuv kares. Anybody understand what he's saying? I read it 1,000 times. I can't. It's like a puzzle to me. I was very excited about this Ramban because he's identifying with that problem. I mean, how do we read the brisa now? And secondly, I like this Ramban because he's telling me that the brisa is addressing a different question. Once you've established Chayv Ikris as a Chayv Malkus, so how much more so in the case of Chayv Mises Bezlin? But then he answers, which I can't figure out, that the answer is that ain't donim chomor mikal lahakil olav. That Rabbi Akiva is establishing that Chiyuv Kares in comparison to Chiyuv Misa is Kal, and therefore we have no right to extend this Halach of Malkus to the Chiyuv Misa. Why? Because Ein Don in Chomer Mikal LaHakil Olav. What do you mean LaHakil Olav? We want to introduce another punishment. We want to add Malkus to the Misa. Why is that called LaHakil Olav? You're telling me that because Chiyuv Krisus is Kal, Lu'umat Chayve Misa, Haraya Chayve Krisus are subject to Mechila. And therefore, we can't derive Malkus from Krisus to Misa, because that would be Mekel Olav. What do you mean Mekel Olav? Who's being Mekel Olav? I want to add Malkus to the boot, to the cholent here. Not only is it Chayve Misa, it's Chayve Malkus. That's called Lahakel Olav? I think he has an answer in his mind, but he's not sharing it with us. Go ahead.
David Chateau is saying that you can only have one evil thing happen to you. So by saying that, like, well, could you have Haris happen to you? Like, yeah, because that's not so evil. In
right.
That sense, it's more calm. So like by saying, like, oh, Misa also, the Kal Homer doesn't work in that direction. In other words, the fact that it's more Homer, the fact that it's definite, the fact that it's a definite Resha, means that you can't apply it.
I don't know. Let me just think about that. I don't see that in the Ramban. The Ramban is saying that. Wait, no. Wait a second. The Ramban is extending Malkus from Kares to Misa, and he's saying no. Since Kares is Kal, therefore we cannot apply. Oh, just one second, Daniel. I'm sorry, I just had a brainstorm. I'm sorry. No, I'll hear you before my brainstorm, but let me just see if what just flew into my brain is correct. Oh, I got it. Yeah, go ahead, Daniel. No, it just flew into my brain. I read this 1,000 times, I didn't figure it out. Now I figured it out. What he's saying is that because of the kula of Chayve Krisus, that's why the Torah had to be Mechayve Malkus. The Torah didn't want to let him get him away without anything. So the Torah was Mekil and said there's a possibility of Tshuva. But that doesn't do anything as far as Bezin Shel Mata, meaning the logic of Rabbi Yishmael, let's go back to the drawing board, was in Lo Tishmor, it's called Torah Zos, that every violation should incur Chiv Malkus, right? Now what are you telling me? But he's Chayv Kares, we can't give him two punishments. Zokta Gemara, Zokta Rabbi Akiva, name. The case of Kares is a Kula. That's what the Ramban means, it's a Kula. Meaning, that kind of punishment is a very, very cow punishment because you can blow it away just by doing tshuva. So therefore the Torah had to give you what? Had to give you Malchus, because the Torah couldn't let you get away with anything, with scot-free. But in the case of Chayv and Mises, we can do tshuva from Chayv Pis Morgan, it doesn't make a damn bit of a difference. You're always going to be Chayv what? Misa. So there is no Kula. So there's no reason that the Torah should have to impose Malchus on you. In the case of Chayv and Krisis, the Torah had to be Chayv Malchus, because otherwise you're going scot-free with this very light punishment called Kares that you can blow away just by with oneness. But in the case of Chayv Misos, where it's absolute, there's no derivation that he should be Chayv what? That he should be Chayv Malkus. Oh, I think that's Emes Lamito. Okay, we have to have Myriv, I guess. What time is it? This clock is always... my clock says 9:25, so I think we should stop. I apologize that we didn't get to the finish line yet, but what can I do? You know, I'm telling you, the sugya is me'ein olam haba. I'm enjoying it. It's putting me back on my feet back on the ground. Okay, so Blin Eder will finish this next Tuesday. Is Alan Shuchalta back in the country yet? What? Next Wednesday, I meant to say. Is Alan Shuchalta back in the country yet? No. He told me he's going to be back as soon as he comes back. Sam's mother, I think, is in town. He told me also he's going to be back. And I don't know where Kapustin is. He was Kapustin is a Chutzlar. Okay, so you know, let's not throw in the towel. There are a lot of people who Max is also. I don't know.
I'm out of town next week. So.
You're out of town. Okay, see that's the, you know, Zen Nichlas v'Zeh Yotze. It's a real. Yeah, that's right. You're Mechayev Max to come. That's all. I think Shmuel is no longer with us, I think.
He's worried about security.
Right, he's got security on his head. Yeah. Well, Rabbi Stachlitz, did you start saying something? Well, somebody started saying something. Okay. All right, let's just get the... Okay. All right, let's see. I didn't daven yet, so if there are another five people who didn't daven, if four people could stay, that would be good. Okay, great.